Welcome to LeagueCast.
Hello and welcome to episode 588 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm Nick Cooper. Joining me is Aiden Rockarts and Colton Sled. Hey, I'm
fourth break and Nick's still
picking it up. This is only number three. I'm cutting out our summoner spell, our summoner names.
Okay.
Hey guys, we've got a couple new patrons. Shut
dude,
up.
We've got our summoner spells. Hey guys.
All right, look, it's been a long day.
When you were getting your haircut, did they accidentally like shave off some brain cells?
Yes, that's what I'm going to blame. Hey, we've got four new patrons, a little bit of LeagueCast news, no new news, so we're going to have a little chat, you and I and you and all of our listeners. And we're going to talk about Blungle, of course, everyone. We're going to talk about competitive league. We got quarterfinals done. Very exciting. We'll hear from NordVPN and then we'll close out with Roundtable and a couple of emails. Aiden, how was your 3 weeks?
Yeah, it's been a while. I've been very sick. I'm going to try to cut out as much coughing as I can by either muting myself or editing it out when I know.
That's very
cough.
Fun.
I'm still pretty sick. As you can kind of tell, I'm going to stifle some coughs. But I'm feeling a lot better than I was the last couple weeks. Doctor said I probably had bronchitis.
That's pretty poggers, I would say.
But I'm feeling good. Other than that, just lots of league. Played some ranked games. I'm currently 2-0 in my series to master tier.
So, yeah, you're crushing it, dude.
I think I'm gonna end master tier is my guess. But stay tuned. It's an exciting
I'm
tale.
Really interested in what your actual MMR is, because it's gotta be like probably what, like masters 200 points.
Well, based on the people you played in, like in that one lobby, like masters 100 ish, I would say.
Yeah, I'll like send you guys the screenshot when you guys are doing your weeks. But I screenshotted my history from last night's first game, I think, and it was like master or 250 average, I would say, in the first game.
Oh, was it? Was it the one you sent in the general chat?
Did I send it to you guys?
You
sent it in general chat. I thought it was lower than that, which didn't make sense to me because you've won so many games. But
yeah, no, okay, it's like master, like I think the lowest person other than myself was like master 100.
Mm-hmm, I see.
Yeah, and like it definitely varies even a lot game to game. Because like, I know like even when I was like masters 100 points, every now and then I'd have a game where like everyone else in the game was like 400 points, and I was like, "What the fuck? Why am I in this game?" But I feel like you're actually there, and I don't know. My MMR is significantly lower than my actual rank.
Yeah, I just found the screenshot. It's me D190, then it's Master 280, Master 30, Master 170, one Master 120, Master 100, Master 200, Master 100, Master 170, Master 180.
Damn. Okay. Higher than I thought.
But yeah, it's been fun. Fucking top lane is easy. You just coin flip every game and you win the ones that you shouldn't win. It's great. So it's really nice because I only have to win one out of my X3 to be master tier, which means it's a 12% chance when I'm flipping coins. So,
good. Hey, 12.5. I'll sell yourself short.
Aiden, where did you get this actual fair coin? Because when I flip coins, I go 24, 1 in 24.
You just waited one way or the other.
True.
No, but it's been fun. I think I'm pretty good at the character. I think Tom Kenchop isn't even that strong right now. But
I think it's strong when you don't need your E.
Yeah. I think like his actual like laning phase is not very strong. I still think he's a very team supportive character. And the meta obviously being bottom lane being very, very strong means if you just don't play for lane, you're doing fine. Like I think I was telling Colton and Trevor that in one of my games, I just did a late invade with my 5-man team. So, like, I was invading at, like, 140 or whatever. And then I just TP'd the lane after we killed them in the invade. And it's like, I don't know. That's like, I think that's bad for, like, any other character. But, like, I don't know. If your bot lane gets ahead, you just win so many games. So, I sent you the fucking what? I put this clip from Noam Whatley, the best Tom Kench, in chat today. It's just after he just plays a game where he, like, loses lanes so fucking hard because he gets like 8-man top like 100 times and he wins the game because his bottom lane's just winning. And he's just, dude, he's so fucking angry.
He's losing his
and
mind. I said,
when you get weak sided top, and then Nick said, when you get weak sided bottom. But it's just funny, dude. But anyways, I've been having fun. I also played through all of Ghost of Tsushima. That game's fucking sick. That's the only other thing I've done, I think, since. So it's been good.
Did that game come out this year? No, it came out last year, right?
Last year.
Okay.
But yeah, it was good.
Nice.
So speaking of Aiden's ranked this year, I looked something up a minute before the show, and it turned out the numbers were a lot closer than I thought they'd be. So Nick and Aiden, I have a question for you. Which number do you think is higher? Aiden's total number of ranked games, that's Flex and Solo Queue, or Colton's unique played champions in rank?
It's gotta, I mean, the fact that you're bringing it up, it's gotta be you, right?
Nice to hear it, not by like a lot. That's my guess.
All right, so Aiden, you're saying yourself?
Yeah.
All right, so
Colton, your okay. unique picks.
It's me with 101 unique champions. Oh Aiden, God, you have 99 rankings. Close. Aiden, you have 99 rankings.
That's oh, wait, crazy. Is it? Does that does that include Flex as well?
He's counting my Flex. Yeah. I only have like 60 total. Like,
yeah, I was gonna say yeah. He's got.
No, I said Solo and Flex.
I'm sorry. Okay.
That was part of the question.
That's insane. I still got it right. That's insane.
You did get it right. So I still have a little bit of time to get one game on every champion in a season. If I give up on the attempt to get back to master, that's what I'll do. Is I'll just make sure to get one game in on every champion.
That's probably good.
That's a
what rank
way
do you think you end if you have to if you have to get a win on every character of the game?
So if I did to like get a win on every character in the game,
yeah, you have to play until you get a win on every character. Where do you end? Like, let's just say you start plat 3.
If I start there and like once I get a win on them, I'm done with that character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like I probably don't break 50% win rate.
No, definitely. I don't think most people do.
No, right? Not at all. Mm-hmm.
I think if I started, you said what, plat 3?
Yeah.
I think I'd probably end that plat 4.
Yeah. You probably don't demote, but like it's rough.
Yeah.
There are like, some characters that are just like they're just so fucking hard.
How many
like
ASL games do you fucking play? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Ugh. The thing is that, like, champions like that, especially if you were planning a strategy like this, I think the most optimal way to do it would be to just take all of those hard characters you don't know how to play.
Play them support.
And, yeah, you just play them support with, like, Imperial Mandate or something.
Or just 50-50 like, a top lane.
Yeah, right? You just hope. Because, like, I played Zoe for the second time ever last night in a ranked game. The only other time I'd played her was, like, once in an ARAM. Won my first game on her, so 100% win rate. But it's like, if you just play at support, you don't have to actually know how to use your champion.
Well, and specifically, I mean, Zoe support's really good right now.
Play
it against me.
yeah, so that was my little quiz question. I guess I'll go into my week. Where I played some ranked games. I won a lot of them. I lost a lot of them. I'm currently at D3 95 LP, so hopefully D2 soon. I've been playing a decent amount with Trevor as he recovers his mechanics and will soon shoot past me and get back into Masters, probably. If not, he'll tilt hard and go down to D4 like I did.
He's at D180.
Yeah. Oh, is he already? He is?
Wow, that's insane.
Yeah, we were playing together, and he like just got into D1. I think he was like 20 or 30 points when we finished, and now he's at 68 points and in a game, so we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, that's... I'm trying to think if I really did a whole lot otherwise or in gaming. Still been playing Ori in the Blind Forest, kind of picked that back up again this week, so progressing through that. Doing platforming and getting mad at certain sections. Like, there's one like big checkpoint event where it was like a race against the map, kind of where like you opened up a flood of water and it was like you had to, you know, like outpace the water, but it didn't move at a fixed rate. It was like a fixed distance behind you, if that makes sense. So, like, in the first section, if I finished it in 8 seconds, it would be just behind me when I finished. But if I finished it in, like, 3 seconds, it would still be the same distance behind me, which is really frustrating. Like, I guess at a certain point, like, if you were too far ahead of it, it would just catch itself up to a certain distance. But it was just, like, really frustrating when you're like, oh, man, I did that section, like, twice as well that time. Too bad it didn't matter at all, and I'm just going to still fuck up on the later thing. but, yeah, that's about it for my week. Nick, I heard that you recently got a haircut. Do you want to tell us about that?
I got a haircut today. It's fresh as fuck, my guys. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. I watched Black Adam this past weekend.
Pictures to the Discord.
No, I'm not posting pictures.
Lame.
No, they have to pay for that.
Oh, okay.
I watched Black Adam this weekend. It was good. I enjoyed it. I played, I think, one solo queue game. Yeah, one solo queue game this week. I won it, so I stopped playing. Got back to D2. That's exciting. Quick little pit stop in D3. Tomorrow I will be D1. Guaranteed. Bet. Just kidding. Yeah, I would be happy to finish D1. Hopefully Masters if I have the ability to push for it. But I, at this point, you know, I peaked at D1 69, I think, which is the highest I've ever been. So, hey, I'm gonna take it for what it's worth.
What's the last date of the ranked season again?
November
15th.
15th. I was gonna say 14th. Oh.
God, I really need to get a move on because I'm going to be, like, out of town for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. Playing games. Colton and I are going to a wedding, not our own, not with each other. So
with each other, it's our wedding. Don't lie.
I've already said it's not, so.
Well, cool. You're lying to our listeners, and I don't appreciate that.
Yeah, and then we're watching Worlds the next weekend, so that'll be pretty, pretty poggers, making a special Canada trip. Anything else? I think that's it. So, hey, we don't have any news, but we have 4 new patrons. If you want to tell us about them, Colton.
Yeah, our 4 new patrons, if I can find the show notes. There it is. Actual Yordle, Crocked Patser 23, Dan Man, I think I said these last week, but anyway, and Aaron D. Hey, you got a double announcement. Then double announcement.
I think I put these in, and then like I was like, I've never heard these read, but I just haven't been there.
Mm-hmm. So hey, thank you again for those who got repeated, and thank you. I think Aaron, the new one on the list, thanks for joining our patrons who we're not calling the G2 Army. I don't think anymore. Or maybe we are.
We made fun of Dan Man's multiple choice abilities last week. So. awesome. Do you guys want to jump all the way down to guaranteed guffaws?
Yeah, because there's nothing fucking else.
Do we want to have a discussion, or do we want to hear about Blungle first?
Tell us about Blungle, dude. You're not even good at Blungle.
Okay, Aiden, I don't know where Flame comes from, by the way, because I don't think I've lost on Blungle yet.
You just build him like shit.
Why? Why is Sunfire bad?
Because it's the most expensive mythic. You're playing a support character. Just build fucking Turbo Chem Tank.
Are you looking at the items or my build?
Yes.
Are you? Because I'm building Lethal Tempo and W Max. Why would
I'm trying
I?
To,
Sunfire's goaded on him.
I don't see any Blungle games in your match history.
Yeah, it's
on my Smurf. It's one game. Also, I played two normal games of it.
He's building Sunfire though, Colton. The two build paths are: you go AP with like Nashers, or you go fucking just Turbo Chem Tank.
But why would I not go Sunfire?
Because it's 400 gold more expensive.
Yeah, it's 400 gold more expensive. But it synergizes way better with what I'm trying to do.
You know what also synergizes well with what you're going to do? Fucking Chem Tank, because then you just run at them.
No, Chem Tank sucks. That's what W's for.
True, that's what W's for, Aiden.
Anyway.
Aiden doesn't even play Blitzcrank. Don't listen to him.
That's what I'm saying. He doesn't even play Blungle. He doesn't know.
I'm looking up the build rate of fucking...
Aiden,
I don't care what other people say. I don't care.
You have a 50% win rate on Blitzcrank this season, Aiden.
It's like a 1 KDA too.
No, it's probably better to build Iceborne. It's cheaper. I just value Sunfire more than Iceborne, which is probably wrong of me.
Also Turbo Chem Tank, not Iceborne, but yeah.
I mean, I think Turbo Chem Tank sucks, so...
the one thing I can say about Sunfire
is... It's so bad!
You can probably shred like Dragon and Baron with
Yeah, for sure. So the big changes to Blitzcrank that make this possible is that they added some max health on hit true damage or magic damage to his W when it's active. So you deal 1% of your target's max HP as magic damage on hit. And then his E does bonus damage to jungle camps as well. So his clear is not very good. I would just 3 camp into gank probably, or maybe 4 camp if you could squeeze in a wolf camp. But you max W, then max E, then max Q. You gank. I mean, your ganks are really, really, really good. You just run up Power Fist them and then hook them whenever they're CC'd. Or lead with hook if you're able to. I like Ghost on him. And then I run Lethal Tempo with Coup de Grace, Alacrity, or Tenacity if you desperately need it. Last Stand, really good with your passive. Then Water Walking Celerity in the Sorcery Tree. Taking attack speed, adaptive force, and armor or health, depending on what you need. I like going Sunfire, but I recognize that that is expensive and maybe not the best.
I'll give you this, Nick, at least. Based on the myth, like item builds for Blitzcrank, mm-hmm. At the very least, Sunfire is the second highest winner after Turbo Chem Tank. Like, and they're very close. They're like within a percentage of each other.
Yeah.
Going Nashers or Iceborne, fucking is turbo low win rate.
Wait, really?
fucking Nashers has a 46% win rate on Blitz Jungle.
Interesting. So I wonder if it's
48%.
I wonder if it's one of those things where
it's also higher play rate, so like more people are probably just casually building that.
I'm also wondering if you have the gold for Sunfire, you're ahead already, and the chance of you winning is probably higher. I just think for what I like to do with the Lethal Tempo and W max, you get a lot of attacks, and you stack up the Sunfire really quickly, and then you're able to proc it really, really well. Your dragon damage is like absolutely insane. Mm-hmm. Between the W dealing max HP damage and your Sunfire dealing a pretty good amount of damage. I think that's it. I would say he's probably extremely, extremely bad into champions that can just fast clear. I would not pick him into like Graves or Hecarim or anyone like that, because you're just asking to get outscaled as quickly as possible. You are not terribly strong early, but you're not the weakest. You really come online when you have some points in your W, because the duration goes up and the cooldown goes down, as well as the attack speed and movement speed going up as well. So it is really, really good for him. I think it's fun. It's fun. I would pick it as a cheese pick. Probably not something that you're going to climb like 500 LP with or anything like that, but it's fun.
Hell yeah. Just invade him on his blue and then you win the game.
Yeah, exactly. I would start red and then go to blue, but yeah, if you get invaded early, it's pretty rough.
You talking about Blitzcrank reminded me of a very upsetting Blitzcrank support that I had recently, who, like, I kept landing Swain E's, and he just kept not hooking until after it was done, and it's just like, my guy, you can't actually miss 10 hooks on rooted targets and expect to win this game.
Watch me.
Oh my god. He was so delusional. Made me very upset.
Nice. You guys ready to just have a discussion? What are we talking about?
Yeah, kind of just anything. So one thing I kind of want to talk about that I saw like recently, we have a lot of Yuumi haters. I think it's like saying it lightly, I guess.
Yeah, it is.
That being said,
it is a narrative that I think we've also played up as a bit of a meme, but I think all of us have played Yuumi.
I think she's fun as fuck to play, by the way.
I enjoy her as well.
She's good for the game. Mm-hmm. But I think she's fun as fuck. And I just wanted one thing to like talk about was... So currently the best way to play her is as a AP damage carry. Like, you play her support, obviously. You don't play her fucking mid. But then you build like just full AP items. It's really, really important to build properly on her. Just because the late game, if you build her properly, you're doing... sometimes the most damage on your team, mm-hmm. which is fucking crazy, because you're just an untargetable mage, right? Mm-hmm. So I see a lot of people just building her like shit. First of all, take first strike on her every fucking game. Like, that's just the easiest thing. You always get the damage. You always get the gold because you're untargetable. Super, super important. Also, a lot of people don't fucking do this. Take magical footwear in your runes. People are like, but Yuumi doesn't build boots. Well, you can either A, sell them, which I think is a good option. Okay, free gold. Or B, Sork Shoes is the highest damage build for Yuumi. your core being Ludens, Dark Seal into Magias, Sorc Shoes, and then Void Staff. Though that is the highest damage four item build for Yumi. You're never going to get more items than that unless the game goes to like 60 minutes.
Yeah, right. Like it's, and especially I think the biggest point with that is that like the 800 gold to upgrade to Sorcerer's Shoes, like at best, the best comparison would be like a Blasting Wand at 850. Yeah. And that damage is not comparable. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people will immediately, when you're like, your best damage is Sorcerer's Shoes, like, well, no, actually a death cap would deal more damage.
Yeah, yes, the actual comparison from numbers on that. So if you have Ludens, Magias, and Void Staff, the difference between having Sorc Shoes, which is 1100 gold, or 800 if you have magical footwear, right, versus Lost Chapter, which is a 1300 gold item, which arguably would be what you're building otherwise, mm-hmm. is about 100 and something damage per Q, like low 100, like 115, 120 like, damage per Q.
In the benefit of Sorc Shoe or in Lost Chapter?
In the benefit of Sorc Shoes.
You're saying CR. Lost Chapter, do you mean Needlessly Large Rod?
No, I mean Lost Chapter, like building a Lost Chapter.
Second Lost Chapter, even though you already have the...
I'm just like reading an analysis on this. That's just the amount of gold and stuff. You could compare it to a Blasting Wand, which is less AP than... Is it less than Lost Chapter?
I
actually don't know.
It's five more.
It's more, okay, so and I think it's a much more apt comparison because you can't buy another Lost Chapter.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure I saw it with Lost Chapter. It might have been Blasting Wand as the comparison, because I think they were trying to compare for like the gold amount, because 1100 gold for Sorc Shoes versus like a comparison would, I guess, be maybe you could say Needlessly, I guess.
Yeah.
But either way, it's like you're doing about 100 more damage per Q on the comparison of Sorc Shoes and Blasting Wand, for example. Which is a fucking lot, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot for sure.
So, I don't know. If you're pilling Yumi, fucking take First Strike and then build Ludens, Magias, Sorc Shoes, Void Staff. Every game. It's super free.
Interesting.
Also, fucking, I want to play a new cheese lane with you guys. I want to play AP Twitch with AP Yumi bottom.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Super. It's super good. Twitch Yumi.
I think you can play either, yeah, Twitch variant, but I think the AP one is more fun because he gets better stats from her.
Well, yeah, Twitch Yumi is better if Twitch goes AP. Twitch Lulu is better if he goes AD. But I mean, they're both good, like you were saying.
The fucking I think they also need to fix that mechanic. I don't think you should be able to stealth on characters with Yumi.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I'm not really sure how that would work. Like maybe just making the detection range bigger. But
yeah,
it does feel really, really weird to.
You just see the cat floating around.
It does feel just really strange to have like two characters be, you know, invisible.
Mm-hmm. But either way, Yumi's fun as fuck to play. Like one of my favorite, like I got Nick to finally play in a community game, Yumi Garen. Dude, shit like that's so much fun. And I mm-hmm. also feel like Nick, we played it like shit, and it
yeah, we played it like shit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And once again, the whole point of Yumi Garen, by the way, was super popular at Worlds, what, 2-3 years ago mm-hmm. or whatever. And the whole point of Yumi Garen is that Garen is just a unkillable, unstoppable vessel that holds this AP untargetable cat.
Yeah, exactly. You're a big ship carrying a big missile or a big torpedo.
Yeah, dude, it's so much fun, dude. As mm-hmm. much as Yumi's shit for the game, she's fun as fuck to play as AP.
Yeah, I mean, like it is the proverbial glass cannon, but when the glass cannon's in another dimension, it doesn't really matter that it's glass.
Mm-hmm. Glass yeah, cannon exactly. sitting inside a cement house.
Yeah, right?
It's a brick house, like, yeah.
It's totally safe. It can't get knocked off, which, again, to me is the very frustrating point of like, you know, the Garen or, you know, oftentimes in solo queue, you see it on, like, the Hecarim, where it's like, oh, cool. The Yumi didn't do anything for 10 minutes, jumped on the Hecarim once he had mythic and tier 2 boots, and then just wins the game. Mm-hmm. I think that's like why a lot of people are very anti Yumi, is because there are certainly games like that where it's like a bot could have been playing Yumi and won that game, but that's not most games, and like bad Yumis do get absolutely destroyed in lane a lot of times.
Yeah, I would agree. I think I mean, you could make that argument like about most champions. You know, there's only so much you need to do to like to succeed on Annie once you're ahead, right? I guess getting ahead is the part that is different from Yumi, but yeah, I mean there's a lot of characters that are simple and very difficult to beat if they get ahead, and I would classify Yumi as one of them for sure.
Also, mm-hmm. just context, the video that I was watching, they were building a codex. It wasn't Lost Chapters, the comparison.
Oh, the Fiendish Codex? Okay.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was a book. I watched it on my phone, like, earlier today.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, that's your Yumi build. I think, yeah, like, the AP poke Yumi is, I think, a lot stronger. And agreed, like, First Strike is just the way to go. You're gonna get so much more income from it. It's 100% worth it. With that, do we want to move into something else, or do you want to do any more discussion? I don't know, what's the
point? Do you have anything fun that you've been playing, Colton, or anything you wanted to like discuss? It's kind of just like an open forum because we have nothing to talk about.
Colton, can you explain to me why you don't build, not you in particular, but you as a generalization, why you don't build Bork on Varus? This is something that I'm passionate about that no one does at Worlds. We're not seeing any Bork on Varus at Worlds. And I think the item is just turbo giga cracked. But
yeah, we were doing some analysis, Colton, and everyone stopped building it like a month ago just randomly. Like it was like 50% of Varuses build it, and then they just drop it off a cliff to like zero.
But it's like you build... So the current pro build is Lethal Tempo with... I think they go Shield Bow.
Yeah, it's Shield Bow typically ensues into like... Wit's End commonly. So I guess for me, the reason I'm typically not going Blade of the Ruined King is because like of what I kind of want to get later. So the way I've been building Varus, which I don't think a lot of people do, is very similar to Kog'Maw, where I'll go like 3 attack speed items into Titanic into just tank. But, like, I think that I would say probably the biggest reason that a lot of Varuses aren't going Blade of the Ruined King is that it doesn't have, like, any resistances. And that's why, like, Wit's End, I think, is super popular, is because that magic resist is just so good at letting you survive long enough to actually get your lethal tempo stacks up. As well as, like, the, like, I feel like when you get Blade of the Ruined King, it doesn't feel like as much damage as it is. Like, even though it does a lot of damage, it doesn't feel like you do damage.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm willing to admit that, because I do think if you look at the tooltip at the end of the game, I would wager that in every single game, Bork would be your highest damaging item, like, regardless of what you buy.
I think like the only other person that we have, like, once again, there's zero discourse about this online, which is fucking crazy. That's what I think is the most wild thing, is that no one talks about why it was built and why it's not built anymore. The only other person I talked to about it was Dan Mann, who's obviously a very good AD carry player. Mm-hmm. And he once again was like, kind of like, I don't really know why people stopped building it, but his idea was that you always build Shield Bow, or most people build, a lot of people build Shield Bow as your core mythic for Varus, right? So he thinks that double dipping lifesteal isn't as good anymore, and you'd much rather get like the resist or the combo of like Runon's Rageblade, Wit's End, etc., rather than like going double lifesteal, which feels weak in the current meta.
Yeah, and like, and so that's, yeah, me personally, I would much rather have like Runon's, because I know I'm going to go Titanic, and Runon's plus Titanic is disgusting. But I mean, again, yeah, I feel like you definitely could do Blade of the Ruined King.
I'm going to make the bold claim that I think pros are building him incorrectly. I don't see the downsides that exist, I guess. Like, I understand
thing
not...
that I could say is that it gives just less attack speed.
Like it doesn't, so but it just synergizes so well with Lethal Tempo and Ginsu's, like, that I think it's insane to me that it just stopped getting built entirely. I feel like when I'm watching competitive Varus, like, I see him auto-attacking a bunch, and then he ends up with the most damage in the entire game, like, by far, but it's, like, it's pretty fucking insane that it could be even higher, you know, by itemizing like that.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they're as strong as you think, Nick, but I do think that there has been games where it seems too good not to go. Like, they have, like, fucking 4 or 3 fucking health-stacking players on their team, you know what I mean? It feels like, maybe we should be changing it up. Like, I think the current build, Varus build, is actually pretty fucking good, but I do think that there's times that people are just so set in stone in what they're building. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm of the opinion that, like, Blade of the Ruined King is a mythic item like that Riot can't nerf because it is so core on like attack speed based carries. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm like overvaluing it. But like I'm hard pressed to find an item that like a legendary item, let alone another mythic item that deals as much damage as Blade of the Ruined King does, like by itself. You know, like
what's the closest one? Like, what's the best non-mythic item? I guess, like
currently, I guess it depends. Like, are we talking about for like AD carries specifically, or just in general?
I just think in general,
like as a damage dealing as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think utility items gets into a weird thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know, because then we could say like, I mean, Zhonya's and Death Stand, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. I would probably say there's not another item
that's core damage. Yeah,
yeah, like I guess maybe we could throw in like Shadow Flame, which is really good. But even then I feel like the numbers, like the tooltip values, you never actually wind up with that much pen damage compared to like the damage that Bork does. Like, and maybe the calculation is pre-mitigation versus post-mitigation, but I don't know. I think there's a reason that like Twitch spikes so insanely hard on Kraken Bork that it just feels like absolutely ridiculous, you know?
Yeah, I'll definitely have to give it a try. I don't think there's any reason why like it would be bad to build that. Suboptimal itemization, I think, is kind of always around. I'd be interested. Yeah, I'll try and get a game in and see what those numbers look like. I guess like I don't love the build path.
Oh, I think it has a sick build path. I think it's so good, actually.
I disagree.
I like, love that you can build pickaxe and then the fucking double dagger thing, whatever that is. Mm-hmm.
The recurve bow.
It's just so many fucking items in your inventory, dude. That's the thing
is,
I hate about it.
It is. Yeah. Especially if you're like, not able to upgrade the daggers.
the pickaxe is like a good component, but I feel like the recurve bow and the vamp scepter when you already have shield bow feel like nothing. So it's like...
Go
you
park
have like
first.
A,
easy.
Maybe. but...
Shield bow is so fucking important to go early, man.
Yeah.
Go at second. Dude, use the gold that you get from Bork kills to buy your shield bow.
I'm really happy that Kraken's OP right now, because like I think AD carry needs a mythic that's not... Like, shield bow can't be the best AD carry mythic. Like,
no, I agree.
It's so fucking bad for the game. I think it should be an option that you go, hey, people are going to fucking blow me up, so I'm going to build shield bow. But like, dude, when shield bow is the best fucking mythic in the game, it just makes everything fucking miserable, I think. But I'm glad Kraken's so fucking good right now.
Yeah, I think so too, which is... It's wild to me that it's still just a flat... just a flat value instead of scaling with like target HP or whatever.
Yeah.
Like it's just, it is explicitly better versus squishy targets, which I don't think people realize. But like, yeah. Yeah. I think they're all in a good spot. Can we talk about like, this will be a good segue, as long as we're finished. But there is something about fucking, Eastern Aphelios's and their combos with Gale Force. Like, God, it is so satisfying to watch like a good player with Gale Force like flash Gale Force into to our ulti and kill everyone. Like, it's so insane.
Yeah, I do think the Gale Force damage component is like too long range personally, but
yeah,
because you get I don't know how long the dash is, but I know the range of the actual proc is 750, which is fucking crazy. So it's that plus the dash, which is kind of insane, but...
Yeah, it's definitely very long. The damage is quite low, I think, unless you're, like, literally 1 HP, and at that point it doesn't matter. Yeah, it's just fun to see all the combos that you're able to do with it.
Yeah, oh, for sure. One thing just to bitch and moan, because we haven't done enough of that this episode. Why can't we see the item damage stats and other non-damage stats like in post game? I hate that in order to know like
you have how to much load back into the game.
Yeah, in order to find out how much damage my Wit's End did a game, I'd have to go into spectator mode, fast forward to like 1 second before the end of the game, and then hover over it. Like, that's so dumb.
they still should just have item stats for every single item in the game. Like, it shouldn't be specific items. Like, when I'm playing Iceborne Tom Kench, right? Like, I should figure out how much my Iceborne procs do by the end of the game, right? But yeah. I see zero reason why that shouldn't be in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But hey.
Yeah, they should be there. Especially, like, where they have, like, the runes tab now, where, like, this is how much mana you got from Presence of Mind. This is, Bloodline, it just tells you when you finished it, not how much you actually lifesteal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, stats like that should be there. It's so dumb that it's not. Anyway.
Cool. We ready to talk about pro play?
Yeah, let's talk about it for a little bit.
Worlds.
Because, boys, this was quite the entertaining weekend. We started off on a weak note, and then we rapidly went into, like, some of the more entertaining series, maybe of all time, question mark?
Yeah. It started out with Rogue JDG, which was the 3-0. I would say not very entertaining.
Yeah, not very entertaining. The JDG just looks so exponentially better than Rogue, which I think a lot of people expected. But boys, I feel like JDG, they've kind of got that plot armor feel. It feels like they can't lose to me. I don't know.
I mean, their bottom lane, I think, is going to probably get dumpstered this weekend, but...
I think so, too. But then they get to play through 369, which is fucking insane.
And the rest of the other... Their soul laner and junglers are fucking insane, but...
Yeah, I just... It is so entertaining to watch that team, because I feel like they're all, like... They're all on the same page. Like, they're never split in a fight or anything like that. And they're never afraid to, like, hey, we have to take this fight now. Like, go. We'll go on timings and stuff like that. Like, that'll be important. But, like, it doesn't matter that we're 5K down. We fight now.
It feels very much like the, like, vibes you get when, like, the three of us are playing normals, where, like, whatever the call is, as stupid as it is, if one of us makes it, it's gonna get followed.
Mm.
Right, where it's like, okay, we're both a quarter HP, they're full health under tower. Aiden says, nah, we can dive this. I say, bet, let's fucking go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like they have that, which is huge. And again, right, like, it's that thing that people say all the time and is very true, right, is that, like, the wrong call followed by five people is better than the right call followed by four or three.
Mm-hmm.
And that decisiveness is just... super influential and makes you win a lot of games,
and it's just fun. It's fun to watch, you know. I don't think they're the cleanest team. They're definitely not, like, gonna shit on every team 3-0, but I don't think there's gonna be a JDG game that won't be, like, entertaining at the very least. Speaking of 3-0, T1 3-0'd RNG, however, in quite the juxtaposition, a very close series all throughout, I would say. With T1, like, slightly getting the upper hand in all three games.
I feel like 1 and 3 were not very close.
You don't think so?
No, like, two was super, super close.
Well, okay, so I would like to say, no, 1 was not close at all. I think, like, that game made me question, like, how Graves is allowed to exist.
I mean, he's got fucked a bit.
In the way he was? Like, yeah, it was absolutely insane. I've played against that Graves before in solo queue, and I've wanted to die.
Yeah.
And the biggest meme of the first game, like, I'm sure that Colt you were leading into, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but that fucking they last picked Nautilus into Ash Heimerdinger.
Oh, I posted this today,
Nautilus did 0 damage until 21 minutes.
Yep, 21:40 is when he dealt his first point of damage.
To a champion or
to a champion? To a champion.
To a champion.
Any champion.
Any champion. He had zero, he was playing 0 damage Nautilus for the first 21:40.
Isn't that crazy?
I thought that was just to that character, not any character when I saw that stat.
So I think there was a skirmish in which he, like, tried to ult Faker, but Faker went invis, so it canceled the animation, and that was it. Delta, very, very little damage, I would say.
Yeah, I was memeing about that when I had a super low-impact jungler who had 1 KP on Shaco at 17 minutes. Mm-hmm, I was like, dude, you're trying to do the 0 damage to champions Tryndamere, but you're playing Shaco and you're doing it wrong because you don't hit towers. That was not a good pick. I think Nautilus or really, like, any engaged tank support into Ash Heimerdinger is actually an int. But yeah, no, I don't know. Like, I feel like game three, it wasn't like a insane hands diff slaughter, but I don't think that there was any point in that game past like maybe 7 or 8 minutes where I was like, oh yeah, they have a pretty decent shot at this. It was just like, you know, back to the T1 of old where it's like, well, they got our red buff at 4 minutes, game's over, because they just don't drop leads.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the way that I feel about it is I still felt, even after the first two games, that RNG could reverse sweep. Like,
yeah, same.
Like it
same.
Felt like those. It was doable.
It felt like, okay, so game one was just a draft gap. And then it felt like to me that game two was like, it was so incredibly close, and it could have gone 50-50 and just happened to go T1's way.
Yeah.
But it was entertaining. It was a good series.
Yeah, so that was the first two. Up next, mm-hmm. we've got Genji and Damwonkia.
I would say this is probably the second least entertaining series, even though it went 5 games. Mm-hmm. Genji taking the series 3-2. I don't know. It didn't really stand out to me. If you ask me now, I couldn't recall like a big play from it, I guess, which maybe in a, you know, revisionist, but I guess I'm comparing it to the next series, which was like, holy fuck.
I think this whole thing was fun. Like I think it's one of those things where it feels like there was a pretty obvious role diffs in Genji Damwon.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, I thought Showmaker fucking played great overall. Like, I think there's a couple games where he got fucking tiffed. But, like, the biggest thing was Canyon fucking shit on Pina, dude.
Yeah, that was a, Canyon's pretty good at the video game.
Like, that was like, okay, this mm-hmm. might be the MVP of, like, the tournament level, like, play. And don't get me wrong, fucking game five, I think Peanut, like, is undercredited because Canyon picked his fucking Canyon, which, by the way, Kane in competitive play is so fucking cool. And game one, the first game they play Kane, he gets red transform in 10 minutes. Game five, they adapt and play four range. The only melee is Sejuani. So Peanut just purposely avoids Kane all fucking game, and Kane doesn't transform until 21 minutes. Like, damn. Oh, dude, God. That's cool.
Yeah, that's really good. Okay, yeah, so that was the three-man Kane W into four-man stunt, Syndra stunt. Oh, yeah, that's right?
Dude, if they win that game, that's in every single montage for the rest
absolutely.
Of time.
That was game five, right? Am I not mistaken?
Game five, and they're down 8,000 gold.
Yeah, okay, never mind. That I forgot about that one. That was... wow, that was a play. Absolutely yes. Insane. Yeah.
I'll look forward to seeing that. I am not caught up with the Worlds watching because I've been playing too
much. It's crazy, Colton.
Yeah, I'm pretty halfway fucking through insane. Genji Damwon, but looking forward to it.
And then we'll close out with the best series of these. This might be an all-timer. When all said and done, but Edward DRX was a banger, guys. It was back and forth. I felt like the entire series.
It's interesting too, because I think like someone like Barrel. Sorry, I coughed a little bit. Someone like Barrel, like, dude, he fucking inted hard in so many games, but he also is the reason why they did so well.
Mm-hmm.
Like. His Heimerdinger play, as much as he plays out of position, gets caught and shit like that, I think he probably plays the best Heimer at Worlds.
Oh, absolutely. I think he was, like, basically fucking 1v5 at some points during the game. Like, it you could not play against it just because of how oppressive playing ahead with Heimerdinger, you know, was. And he made it.
Yeah, and I think part of that is probably, like, the other side of the coin of, like, why he dies so much and, like, gets caught out sometimes is that when you are playing like that aggressive to make it feel like they can't go anywhere or do anything, sometimes it works and sometimes you just die and look like an idiot, but like hopefully if you're good enough, and I think he is, like that's gonna work out more often than it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which is like the funny thing about like watching all of the, you know, like backseat analysts saying what these people did wrong is like, if that had been the play and we stopped the clock 10 seconds earlier and asked you to like analyze, like, was this the right call? Yes or no. Like they would have no clue. Mm-hmm. And that they're solely basing it off the results.
Mm-hmm. But other two things to talk about in the game is the game two ending, which is fucking crazy. DRX had a huge lead. They kind of threw it in the shitter. And then they go for a TP back door where Deft and Kengen both TP into base. Kengen fucking TPs in front of everyone's face, so he gets it canceled. Deft TPs in. And his auto's literally in the air, and the inhibitor responds to finish the fucking game.
Yep.
And then they fucking lose.
And then they fucking lose. It was heartbreaking. I watched it the day after, and I was, you know, posting my reactions in our Discord. I truly don't know how they had the heart to play and reverse sweep following that game two loss. Like, absolutely insane. I would have quit. I would have quit League of Legends, and that would have been it.
Yeah, and only other thing to note is that fucking Zekka might be the best Sylas in the tournament. It's between him and Chovy, for sure. Like, both of them probably played the best Sylases in the world.
God, watching the Sylas Akali matchup, I feel like it's just one-sided.
I mean, Akali wins it
based on the game. Yeah.
But
it's just so fun to watch. There's so many dashes, like, all around.
It's been really fun seeing a lot of Akali at the tournament, because, like, hate playing against and with Akalis in my games, but love watching it on the pro stage.
Yeah, definitely.
And put it in a game against Sylas where he's already got his two dashes and he steals your ultimate. Mm-hmm. It's so fun to fucking watch.
Yeah.
Also, Def fucking won. He's in semifinals on his birthday. He won on his birthday.
Yeah, did you guys know it was his birthday?
I didn't know that.
And it's what was the amount of time? How many days since, like,
2000
last time he was...
something? It was 8 years.
Yeah, 8 years since he's been in semis.
Crazy. Whoa. Absolutely crazy.
Cool. Do you want to make quick predictions for the games next week, and then we can move on?
Yeah. So T1 JDG.
I think JDG wins 3-1.
Oh, I think it's going to be 3-2. I think it's going to go 5 games. It's going to be really, really close. And this is my super hot fire prediction. The winner of this wins the tournament. I think this is the world finals right here.
Yeah, I don't think that's actually that hot of a take.
Maybe. Who knows?
I think there's three teams that can compete for worlds left.
That's fair.
Yeah. But it's to me, I think it's going to be T1, probably 3-2. I made the mistake of not picking a Korean team to win in quarters, and I'm not going to do it again. I need to stick with my tried and true strat of, if there's a Korean team, the Korean team wins. And only if it's Korea versus Korea, like it will be in the finals, will I have to make hard choices.
Okay, fair enough.
What's crazier between these for, like, pick'ems? Because, like, obviously, like, there's a lot of normies who, like, do pick'ems and stuff like that. What's crazier between, in quarters, 20% of people picked Rogue to beat JDG? Or is it crazier that only 15% of people are choosing JDG to beat T1?
Oh, I thought when you said anything about Rogue that, like, it would be that 100%, but then you said 15% of people
I'm
are picking
right
JDG.
I'm seeing right now 18% for JDG.
Oh,
which
that, yeah.
Still,
very high.
Which it to me is like a 55-45 probably.
Yeah, I think it's really close. I'm still gonna go Rogue. I think there was a 0% chance.
Rogue.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
Like, what's crazier between those?
Yeah. I think there should have been a 0% chance that Rogue ever wins that. Yeah. Like, and if it was an upset, so be it. But there's no shot. There's no shot. We were out here saying that Rogue had a chance in that series.
It should have been less than 5%.
Is it crazier that there's some people thinking that TRX is going to be Gen.G?
I don't think that's that crazy. Like, especially coming off of, like, a hype series against EDG. And, like, I don't know.
Players in 5 out of 5 roles, man.
Yeah, but I think that people also, like to convince themselves of the narrative where they're like, Gen G won in the regular season, but now DRX is coming back for revenge at Worlds. Like, people want to get in on that narrative, but, like, there's a reason that they weren't able to beat Gen G in in Korea and probably won't be able to do it again on the world stage.
I just feel like, I don't know, I think Gen.G is an infinitely better team. I think they've been a little bit sloppy. I think DRX has worse players in every single role. I think their highlights were obviously Deft and Zekka. Zekka, obviously, the fact that he is one of the best Sylases. The problem is, Shatovi's probably the other best Sylas, so it's not like you're just fucking getting free Sylas picks either anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know, I think this is a 3-0 Gen.G. Like, easy peasy.
Interesting.
I think it'll probably...
3-1 Gen.G.
Yeah, I'd say I think it's probably 3-1 just because I think that Gen.G. there's a pretty good chance that like one game Zekka hard gaps Chovy and like just pops the fuck off, but I don't think it happens more than once. Like I definitely see it as possible where like if they're just, you know, tossing the Sylas back and forth, that one of those games Zekka just pops the fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
But I very highly doubt that they can actually take the series.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be fun. This is a good series. Aiden, I think you're leading our pick-ems right now.
Like out of us three. Yeah.
Out of
us.
I
think there's a couple of LeagueCast fans that are above us, but
yeah. Oh, Colton's not in the group. What's your how many points do you have right now?
Yeah,
I have 69.
I'm at 102.
I'm sorry, 65.
Wait, actually?
No, you're not.
No.
I was going to say, 104 is max. That's why I was confused. I was like,
no,
oh,
I'm
shit.
At 61. I'm not doing okay. Great.
I'm at 74.
Nice.
My group's picks did not go very well.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And Crystal Ball.
We're all getting fisted on Crystal Ball.
Oh, I want to change mine so badly. I have Gen.G as my crystal ball, which I guess I should be thankful that there's still a chance.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. How about you guys? What are cool. you? What are yours?
I Gen.G for like the team.
Gen.G,
yeah.
I see.
I think all of us did.
Yeah, I had Gen.G to win. I think.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I don't know a lot of these if they've actually.
No, we're getting fisted on all of them when we talked about it. Don't worry.
Okay.
That's funny.
All right. Well, that's it for Worlds coverage, I suppose. Do you want to go into the NordVPN ad?
Yes. You sure do.
Hey, it's NordVPN. You know, those guys that give you high-quality encryption and threat protection, as well as VPN services for your internet browsing and internet traffic. Did you know that they have a whole bunch of new plans where you can get cool stuff like password generation and an encrypted file locker? Did you know that, Aiden? You've been gone for a while.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and did you also know that you can get 4 months for free and a fatty discount if you go to NordVPN.com?
I did know that because they're awesome.
If you go to NordVPN.com/LeagueCast, they are awesome. That's right. It's true. They're giving you 4 months for free and a fatty discount, as well as a 30-day money-back guarantee if you're a crazy person and don't like it. But you're not a crazy person because you listen to our show, and
right?
All of our listeners are great. And they're also great because they go to nordvpn.com/LeagueCast and sign up for the standard plan, the bonus plan, the plus, or the complete plan with NordVPN. And they get some really high-quality product. They can connect to servers all over the place if they need to watch a show that isn't available in your region, or, you know, try and go to websites that are region blocked because of your stupid government who says, no, you can't go to this website. Mm-hmm. I can go to whatever website I want with NordVPN by using the code or the link nordvpn.com/LeagueCast. Thanks so much to Nord.
Hell
thank
yeah.
You, Nord.
Thank you, Nord. Let's move into Roundtable.
Hell yeah, I haven't done Roundtable in fucking forever, dude. Anyways, last week's question, though, what was it? It was, pulling up the document, it was, why are you stuck at your current rank? I'm not stuck at my current rank. Ooh. Let's read some listener answers. We actually have a billion, dude. This is the most
you're
discussion.
Stuck at your current rank because you keep dodging series.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, I was instructed to read Drew's, by the way. I don't know if you included
it. Oh, yeah, I saw. I was, I deleted it, but I didn't know that you posted that there. It was top lane sucks. No.
It was junglers and bot laners, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
That's his reason.
Hey, we have so much. We had like fucking 100 answers in our fucking Discord.
Yeah.
And pretty well, I would say 85% of them is my teammates are bad. which is very funny to me. But anyways, I'll read a couple of them. From our Twitter, Dragon Tamer said, the game backlog for someone who's a completionist is extensive. I want to climb and play ranked and learn, but I also want to play other games too. Full-time job sucks as well. Yeah, dude, playing other games eats up so much time. I've been trying to play like a different PlayStation game like every couple weeks. And I've played very little League this year because of it, but I've had a fucking blast. I've played so many new games, so it's been great.
I want to finish Nier Replicant so bad, but I just want to play a solo queue.
And dude, fucking God of War 2 comes out in like 2 weeks.
I know.
Ooh, I'm so excited. Rusty Monk, or Monkey, said, 9 out of 10 games are my teammates getting tilted, griefing, fighting amongst themselves, typing too much, AFKing, or first timing in rank. One in time is me getting tilted from the other 9 out of 10 games that I've lost that day, and I didn't call it quits. Also, I lose 22 and gain 11. That seems like the bigger issue.
Oh my God.
That's funny.
Holy shit.
From our Discord, Little Barnabas said, I'm answering for Legends of Runeterra. I get to Diamond playing meta decks and then start to play silly decks. I'm not sure if I put in the time. I'm sure if I put in the time, I can make Master Tier. That's fun, though. Sharky said, my time management is awful and I can't commit enough to climb in ranked. Actual Yordle says, I've literally never tried to play past Gold 4, and I feel like ranked in low elo is too toxic to try and climb higher, and I just enjoy getting the skin each season. However, this is also due to me mostly playing Aram and rotating game modes more than playing Summoner's Rift. That's a fun way to play, though, just getting your skin and calling it quits.
Yeah.
Brandon said, I'm a very emotional player. I tilt very easily, and I'm still in the process of working on myself to not get too emotional, but with autism, it feels like fighting a pro boxer with no training and one hand tied behind your back. It's kind of why I have taken a step back from rank for the rest of the season, so that when I start to climb for next season, I'll have some tools not to get too emotional till it's easy. That seems like you have a really good understanding of yourself. Mm-hmm. And then Wellis, fucking Colton's duo queue partner recently, said, I feel like I'm not disciplined enough as I feel I should be when it comes to climbing in solo queue. Heard Colton and Nick say that so many times that on the show how Aiden is the best solo queue player among them because he knows when to utilize dodges to stop playing after 2 losses and followed self-imposed rules like that. I think I need to continue improving on all these self-imposed rules, create more and watch replays / take notes of mistakes to clean up my overall gameplay.
Yeah, Aiden, I think you're by far the best solo queue player among us.
I don't do any of that anymore, but it's also because I've played so little that when I was going to play, I literally just fucking needed to slam out games, whether they were wins or losses, mm-hmm. which also isn't a good way of doing it. But when I was like really, really trying, I feel like I was pretty, I guess, rigid with my rules that I'd set for myself.
Yeah.
But anyways, this week's roundtable question is... right here. It is, what role / class do you think needs some love from Riot and why?
I'll go first. None. I think all the roles are pretty fine right now. I do think like bot lane is like the strongest roles currently, like in solo queue. With the caveat that like I think the difference between the strongest role being like AD carry and support, probably similar to one another, being like very minimal, a few percentage points, like at the very most, between like probably jungle and top lane. I don't think top lane is really that bad. But I can understand that it is frustrating. There are frustrating aspects about it. I just don't think the power of the role is that low.
Yeah, I mean, Nick, you and I talked about it a little bit. I don't think you fully agree with me. But my whole perspective is that, like, it's fine for roles to have less impact. Like, that's a very normal thing in any team, like, game. If you look at any sport, there is positions in sports that have less impact. And that doesn't, like, they're still a part of the team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The only thing that I think makes it a little bit different for a game like League of Legends is that your team changes every game. So, therefore, if you're playing and I'm doing air quotes here, lower impact position, right, then your team rotating around you is a variable that you can't control, and your amount of control that you have is limited compared to other roles. That being said, it's also a game where you can fucking play any role that you want. You can literally queue up for any role that you want and do whatever the fuck you want, which is fine. The reality is I don't think it's actually that bad. I do think it's lower impact, but you can also change your playstyle, right? Like, I mean, I was saying earlier that I just fucking don't care about top lane as much, right? I either A, coin flip my lane, just have fun, or I focus on early TPing bottom, roaming early down for dragons, doing anything to make sure the power points of my team are winning.
And I guess that's my perspective. Sorry, if you're finished.
I was just going to say, like, the counterpoint to that, Nick, is that I want to fucking play the game and have fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if like the best way to play the game is not a very fun way, that kind of does suck. That being said, it's, you can play top lane and fucking win. Just play shit that's good. You
know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how I feel too. Like, I know this has gotten brought up a lot of the times, but I feel like, you know, when 80 carries are good, like you have to change the 80 carry that you're playing to fit that. Like, you know, it's very hard to be a Caitlyn player when she's bad. Right. And I think that is sort of what I would extend to solo lanes. Like if you're saying your role is weak and it doesn't have a lot of impact, I feel like I am going to make the argument that you should just change the way you're playing that role to better fit the meta, which I think can be extended to every role, right? Like, you're not going to play farming junglers when farming is weak. You're not going to play mages mid when mages are weak. And I think that extends to top lane, but it gets sort of a pass, because it does have way more like additional frustrating aspects to the game. Like, counterpick basically doesn't exist the way it does for top lane for any other role. And for that, I totally, totally understand. Like, yeah, it feels like absolute shit when you get counterpicked and weak sided, like, and ganked a million times and your bot lane still loses. Like, yeah, okay, there's nothing you can do to change that. Like, you're not going to win that game and that was out of your hands. Like, I do understand that. But then it is hard for me to, at the same time, then hear the argument when Aatrox is 100% presence at Worlds, despite only being like 49% win rate in solo queue, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, the easiest way for me to like distance myself from it is like looking at like mid, and I know mid isn't top, but like, I think I can have a discussion about it, is like, if I look at like an assassin player when 80 assassins are weak as fuck, which by the way is my roundtable answer, I think 80 assassins should be buffed. but like, if I look at that, I go, on one hand, I go, fucking play a mage, dumbass, right? Like, yeah, the rule isn't weak, play a mage. But on the other hand, I also go, I kind of understand like wanting to play your 80 assassins and being a little bit upset that you feel like you don't have impact playing something, even though that's what you enjoy playing, right? You can have both those things be true at the same time.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
But I definitely understand it from that perspective pretty well.
Yeah, I do. It's just, I guess, from my interactions with people who are adamant about this, it feels like top laners are more resistant to changing their play style.
Yeah, for sure.
And maybe that's my extremely anecdotal like experience. Like, I interact with, I don't know, a handful of top laners in our Discord exclusively.
Me and Drew, who are the same person.
And then like maybe Shark, or I don't know if Poe mains top lane still.
All
but like
disciples.
Yeah, exactly. People who only play that role and only play specific champions in that role. Like, yeah, if those champions are weak, I can understand your frustration, and I'm not gonna argue against that for sure. It's just funny that like if Samir is weak, but 80 carries are strong as a whole, it feels like the answer to me would be like, why are you playing Samir? I play something else, right? And maybe it's easier to say that about 80 carries.
Also, on the other hand, would go, it would be nice if Samir was strong.
yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah, no, I think we're on the same page.
Sorry to tangent that out.
So I'll answer because I didn't say anything yet. I agree generally that like I don't think any role or class needs a ton of love. Like I think the game is in a pretty good state. The two that I would probably look at would be like tanks, because I feel like they do have a potential to do like way too much damage, where you like get like the Zac mid with Sunfire demonic, but who's still like just one hitting your backline and unkillable. Like, that is very unfun to play against.
Sucks when you're perfectly cutting an Ornn for 12 seconds and then die to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will say fucking Sunfire's damage is way too strong. Yeah, no, I don't understand how that hasn't been nerfed yet. But yeah, that's a good meme.
The other one I would say more so is like mage supports as like a subclass.
Boo.
Because like I think that they're so shit for the game in most circumstances, and I would love if there was like better options for them, but it feels like when you like see mage supports, it's going to be like they're going to pop off and deal more damage than your mid laner because they have two champions they get to get kills on bot lane and the mid laner only gets one, or they're going to be completely useless. And in either situation, like the AD carry is just going to be like sitting there like watching the lane happen.
It almost feels like when you're support locks an Ashe or Senna, like okay, we might win this game and maybe it's even good, but like fuck, this isn't going to be fun.
I feel like those two fit that role as well, where it's like the support is not playing to support and they don't really have options to so much on a lot of those characters, where it's like okay, well they like their mythic is going to have to be like a Ludens or, you know, a Eclipse, so they're going to try and steal kills and they're going to play selfishly. And if, you know, I don't know how they would do it in terms of like adjusting those champions or itemization to make it feel less miserable to have like a Brand support or a Xerath support. Either that or like give them different, you know, adjustments to keep them out of support and make them good at mid again.
Well, I would hope that they would lean into like the trifecta in the bot lane of like enchanters, tanks, or engage and poke. Whereas like I think that's sort of been the missing link for a while, is like poke mages have been pretty bad, which then kind of narrows down the class to enchanters and engage supports pretty exclusively.
It feels like all three are never really that good at the same time, which is fine. Like, I think it's fine to have like different levels of power. Mm-hmm. But it'd be cool if it like, the reality is you can play almost everything support. Carries, but that's just,
yeah, it does feel like it, mage supports, damage dealing supports are like have gotten the short end of the stick more frequently than the other roles, for sure. The other archetypes.
Of course.
Awesome. Cool. Good discussion.
That's round table. Yeah. It's round.
If you want to tell us what role or class you think needs some love, you can hit us up on our Twitter at LeeCast. You can send us an email at mail@leecastpodcast.com or come into our Discord and post in our roundtable section. That's discord.gg/LeeCast.
Let's move into Mailfight. Our first email is from Casey. Hey, LeeCast crew, just got a little lesson in positive self-talk that I thought would be interesting to share for the cast. I was watching some chess content specifically.
Sounds not interesting, you nerd. Let's go to the next email.
A video of the Botez sisters playing with Magnus Carlsen, the world champion. Alexandra Botez asked him, if you could go back in time and tell your 10-year-old self anything, what would it be? When I hear that question, my mind goes straight to advice I would give myself or problems I would try to avoid. But Magnus said, I don't know. It would be, you're going to grow up and you're going to be awesome. Just keep up the good work. That may feel like a non-response, but I actually love it. That vote of confidence that he gives himself probably means more than any particular advice he could give. But he's also acknowledging that it takes work. Applying that to my own league gameplay, it made me realize how I can sabotage myself with messages like, I know I'm not very good. I just need to try to not throw. It seems so much healthier to tell myself I'm going to be awesome. I just need to keep working. Anyway, I'd be curious to hear your reactions to that. Any thoughts you have about the messages we tell ourselves? Casey.
Just tell yourself lottery numbers. What the fuck?
True.
That's just
crazy. And then you can buy Nice coaching.
You can buy just two a little sessions, funny meme. Two sessions of Nice coaching.
No, I think that's a really good like perspective to have. And part of the reason why like I personally don't look at like OPGG before the game, or like during the game or whatever, is because I do think it puts you in a mindset of like, wow, I'm playing against a 60% win rate Darius. Like, okay, the game's over for me. Like, you're already in a negative, you know, mind space, and it's even harder for you to overcome. Or you get that the reverse of that, where you're like, holy shit, this Darius is silver. Like, there's no fucking world I'm losing this. And when you lose, like, because you're overconfident, it's like, it's even worse.
It is funny because I think it's a little different for one. This is a different discussion, so maybe I'm getting a little off track. Mm-hmm. But I think it's interesting is I think looking at OP.GGs is very important as a one trick, because I very much know how to limit test everything, meaning I know that if someone's good at a character or bad at a character, or first timing a character or a master of a character, I can play the lane in different ways to get different levels of advantages. Mm-hmm. which is like, I think it's like actually super useful information that I shouldn't be able to get, which it sounds like they're fixing next year. So
I fucking hope so. Someone flame me for my Blungle pick.
I think that, yeah, it makes a really good point that if you have really good, like, deep matchup knowledge, right, like, knowing that this is a good Camille versus a bad Camille, it's like, that could go from a, you know, like, if it's a first-time Camille, you win the lane. If it's a okay Camille, it's even. If it's a good Camille, you're just going to get shit on. Like, you're right, like, knowing that and being able to play around, it's important. I generally don't really look, and as I've been playing a little bit with Trevor, he always looks, and it's just funny because every game he's like upset about something in the OP.GG.
Yeah.
Where he's like, this guy's a fucking smurf. Or like, why is their whole team 50 LP higher than everyone on our team? Mm-hmm. But I feel like he also then just like never points out the other things. Whereas like one game we're like, yeah, this Evelynn's a fucking crazy smurf. And I was like, yeah, but their mid laner's got like a 20% win rate on that pick. You should be able to smash him.
It is really funny to listen to people describe their solo queue like journey. I'm not gonna name names, but one of our listeners posted like a 6 or 7 game loss streak on top lane and then said like, it's all junglers and bot laners, but I don't think he went positive in any of those games, like KD wise, and then had like extremely poor like scores in a lot of them, and like it's easy to say that
normal thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. And it's easy to say that from the outside looking in. And, like, you know, I wasn't there. Maybe you played, like, absolutely perfectly. And, you know, that's just
or maybe, like, the jungler. Maybe the jungler did come top at, like, level 2, feed the opponent double buffs, and, like, steal 3/4 of a wave. And
also fucked the wave state, so it's a freeze for the next 20 minutes. Yeah, like.
And also, Tom Kench spit him in a fountain to get him more deaths. You don't know if that did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like, also, that's all fucking possible. Killed his mom. That's crazy.
No, but I just wanted to give that person credit if they're listening. Is I don't think I've ever looked at a single person who's ever said, I've been getting fucked by my team, and then looked at their match history and haven't seen the fact that they've like seemingly fed in 35-40% of their games,
higher than the 10% you would expect. Right?
Yeah.
It's it was just funny and definitely like. You know, definitely not calling him out, but
yeah, for sure.
it was funny to have that juxtaposition.
It's definitely easier to see, to think why you're losing games when you're in the heat of it than someone else looking at it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. To jump back to the email, like, I think that advice is like really good advice. I think it probably comes a little bit from the mindset of like a lot of people, if you really ask them, like if you could go back in your life and like, change X or Y, like would you? And most people be like no, because like ultimately like that's part of what makes me
mm-hmm.
And I think that probably stems from this a little bit where it's like, again, like as much as there are things in my past like I wish I had done like better or differently, like I wouldn't really go back and change it.
That is really good advice to give to young world champion of chess Magnus Carlsen instead of just like random average Joe, you know.
that too, of just like keep working. But yeah, no, like the whole thing of yeah, just like hey, you're doing good, keep working on it. That's I think it's a really good healthy perspective.
No, it is. Yeah, I think it's funny though. Also, have you guys looked into any of that fucking chess drama, by the way?
Yeah, I've been
god
following
it's so
it pretty...
juicy actually.
The lawsuit's fucking crazy.
It's actually so juicy. Insane.
Yeah. Anyway, cool. Thanks, you Casey. For the email, Casey. Next email is from Dali Maru. Hey, it's your lad, Dali Maru here. I'm writing because a few weeks ago on the podcast, you guys talked about champions who should have a family member in the game. Well, this reminded me of when I first started playing League. I designed a few champion that decided to send to Riot as concepts back in 2014 and 2015. And weird enough, these champion designs kind of seem very similar to champ reworks like Yone and Aatrox. I was more so wondering if you guys know if Riot really does take fan feedback or ideas to make champions, and if I find my old artwork and designs, I'll definitely send them in. Thanks for making an awesome podcast. Love you boys, and have a good one. Dali Maru.
So, I mean, I like, imagine they do, right?
Yes. Like first answer is like, yes, they do read them. They look at the feedback. I think generally they don't put a lot of weight into it because I'm sure they get like 100 champion submissions a week and
they're all bad.
realistically 99 of them are probably not very good.
Let's just put it this way. There was an era of League Cast where we would get fucking 10 champion concepts a week.
Yeah, we've specifically banned champion concepts from Mail Fight. Not because I think listeners have done historically a bad job of designing characters, but that they've done a bad job of designing characters that are good for audio content.
That
and here's how his E scales. I don't think you understand.
Yeah, I think that part of the issue around champion design, like from people who don't actually make champions often, is like a lot of times you'll get something and you'll be like, oh, okay, that's an interesting passive. Like, oh, that Q sounds really good. Wait, what the fuck did you put on his W? What? Like,
yeah, then you get a character like Renata.
There's always a couple things where you're just like, okay, wait, that went too far.
Or like, wow, this is really hard to follow. And in your mind, it flows perfectly. Like, you're swapping and like Udyr. But in reality, you have like old Scion's kit in terms of cohesiveness.
I can also imagine that a lot of this like just kind of sits in the back of their head, where that like maybe when they come up with something, it was based on your idea and they don't even remember it. Or they say, like, hey, that's a really cool Q design. I'm not a huge fan of the rest of the champion, but maybe we can make that work on something else, or, like, merge that with these things.
Or in reality, they fucking plagiarize you, Dalimiro. Take them to court for all their work.
Yeah, or they plagiarize you. I was going to say, like, lastly, like, as similar as in your head, like, champion designs are going to be, like, I can only imagine how many thousand like proposals for like a wind swordsman samurai Riot received before they put Yasuo in the game. Right. And like, it was not probably based on 99% of those. That's just like an archetype that exists, right? Where it's like, if I submitted the idea of, I don't know, like a fire-based mage, and before Brand came out, I'm like, oh, they based Brand off me. It's like, no, dude, they're like, there were fire-based mages and a million other things before I ever came up with that.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, definitely. We have a channel specifically for that on our Discord, where people like to read and know, give their feedback on it.
Yeah, the one thing we do know, though, is for sure they do listen specifically to us, because they stole our idea for Mundo Cleaver getting stuck in the back and you tearing it out, and they didn't go with it because they were too afraid. They realized that we put that in the game.
We would have sued. I swear.
They were just afraid because they knew if they put in one of our ideas, the community would love it so much they'd have to start putting in all of our ideas and fix their game.
Then they have to give Cinch poison different effects, and
yeah, they'd have to rework the poison system and like
make Taric ascended.
Ooh, ascended Taric. Put it.
Can't
in
have
the game.
Any of that. Can't have.
Put
any
it
of
in
that.
The game.
Awesome. Thank you, Dalimiro. And that'll do it for this episode of LeagueCast. If you want to send us an email, it is mail@leaguecastpodcast.com. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/kingnightoutbluebasket and LeagueCastFrost. Tweet at us on Twitter, we're LeagueCast. On Facebook, we're LeagueCast. Visit our website, leaguecastpodcast.com, and join our Discord server, discord.gg/leaguecast. Finally, support us on Patreon, patreon.com/leaguecast. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.